to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, a word of prayer before we begin to read. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be in the house of God again. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, we're thankful, as some have even testified. Lord, we know that as storms come in this time of year, not just here, but all up and down the coast, all over the country, all over the world. Lord, we know some of those storms are devastating, destruction, even create death. And Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, during these times. And Lord, we're thankful that today we can testify that there's no damage to any of our properties, and we're thankful for your goodness to us, dear Lord, and especially to church and things. And Lord, we're able to be in service. Brother Harley called me yesterday and asked me about it, and I said, well, we'll have to see how the storm comes in, but thank the Lord we're able to be here this morning. And we ask you to bless each and every one that put an effort out, dear Heavenly Father, as we woke this morning and it was raining pretty good. But we're thankful we were able to come in and be dry. And Lord, we ask you to bless us as we leave also. So Lord, we ask you to bless the service. We ask you to anoint the word as we bring it to each and every one. Dear Heavenly Father, each and every one of us, dear Lord, we have ears to hear. And Lord, we ask you to help us to apply it to our hearts and minds, dear Lord. Not only just the word, but dear Lord, the spiritual application that the Spirit of God deals with us. And we'll certainly thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You know, over the years of preaching and things, and you know, and one of the things of preaching, there's a reasoning part. Dealing with people's souls, and you bring certain messages, but then you have to reason. Sometimes people have questions. Well, what about this? And this was a verse that I've always, I remember looking this up and studying this verse out a little bit here. And he tells us, and we might make mention of this a little bit later here, but he tells us in this one part, and this is not my thought for this morning, but he says here that we're going to stand before everyone may receive the things done. Receive the reward, if you allow me to put that word in there. Receive the reward of things done in this body. Because we've got a lot of teachings out there, and I think as Brother Birdie mentioned sometimes, with the body sins, but the soul lives for God. Well, that's not any truth to that. But God lets us know we have to bring this body into subjection. But that's not my message for the thought here in this verse here. He says we all must appear before the judgment seat of God. Now turn it over there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Do you understand that you're faced with an appointment one day?
Yes.
Every one of us are faced with an appointment. And that is the most vital appointment we will ever have to go to. We have appointments. Every one of us, no doubt, maybe have an appointment this week, sometime this month, shortly in the next several weeks. We probably all have scheduled some type of an appointment in our life. Maybe it's a doctor's appointment, a dentist's appointment, have our car looked at appointment, have someone come to our house appointment, all kinds of appointments. I make appointments many a times here for the church and things and meeting people. They call me. I schedule a time to be there. And often and many a times, and there's things, not many a times, but often, they'll make a phone call. We can't make that day. I had the guy come out recently just for the fire extinguishers and things. And usually they call me maybe a couple weeks out. And I set up a particular day and appointment. And then as that came closer, it conflicted with something, and I had to call him and rearrange the appointment. Sometimes we can rearrange that. But this appointment cannot be rearranged. It cannot be rescheduled. It cannot be delayed. It cannot be put off for another time. It says here, it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. We have an appointment.
It's true.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I don't know how we got talking about it, but He's talking about, he says, when I got to go to my cardiologist, he goes, I'll take a pill or something a little bit before I go, make sure I don't have any, my feet aren't swollen, make sure my blood pressure's right, try to get, he says, I know that's an appointment. So I was thinking, he's setting up some things to prepare for his appointment. We have an appointment. The most important appointment in our lives, and most people in the world, and even us in general sometimes, are we prepared for that appointment? We can't get out of it. Amen. Every single soul will stand before God and meet this appointment. Hebrews and Corinthians here, Paul says, we will stand before God and to give an account for what we did here on this earth. In this body.
Amen. It's true.
In this body. What our mind thinks about, what comes out of our mouth, what we allow our ears to be subject to, what we allow our life to be subject to, what we allow things to go, what we travel after or chase after. And here in the last part of this verse, he says, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There is a teaching out there in the world, which we'll read later on another verse here. There's a teaching out there in the world that sort of does make sense if you were to listen to it. It says, if your good outweighs your bad, then you're all right. You know, I don't know, every one of us here went to school, and there was a percentage that we had to do to pass. Most of the time it was 70%. You had to have 70% to pass. We are never required to have 100% in school. Never. To achieve one, in order for you to pass this class, you have to pass it 100%. You have to pass it with all the ability, everything. That's not required in the world. There's a 70%. And even in school, sometimes I can remember some of your largest part of your grade was just your attendance. Long as you were there every day, long as you did your work, your assignments, you were paying attention, that was a big percentage of your grade. And of course, the tests and all those things came into play also. But 70% was a passing grade. With God, he doesn't require 70, he requires 100%. And I thank God that's not difficult. And I was never really good in school. But and some of those I shot for, Lord help me to get to 70%. I remember when I went to Lincoln Tech, and of course my mom and dad paid for that trade school, and it was nine classes in that. There was nine different classes in that school. It took over a year to do all nine classes, and you had to pass every single one of them to graduate. And if you and I think it was 70% that was passing, and if you did fail that, I don't remember, you may not be able to continue. You know, you had to do that to pass them all. But anyway, I can remember some of those. I remember the very first class that I went to there, and it was probably the most difficult class there. And I just barely passed that. Now, the rest of them I did well in, thank the Lord. But God doesn't say, I just give you 70%. I want 100% of your best. That's what God requires. And we're going to stand before him, and we're going to give an account whether it be good or bad. And as I mentioned, some people think, well, if I do at least 70 or 80 or 90% or 95%, that's good enough. God says, no, I need you to do 100% of your best. 100%. Now, I thank God I'm not going to be judged by what Brother Danny can understand or what someone else can understand. God's going to judge me for what I understand, what God helps me to understand.
Amen.
That's my best. In the song we sing sometimes, our best, whether it great or small, that's our best. Some people can achieve greater things than you and I can, and some people may not be able to achieve things, but God only requires the very best, but he requires the best that we can give by the grace of God. To give an account for what we've done in our bodies. We know that in our bodies, we know that the Bible teaches, and I don't believe I'm talking to anyone here that doesn't understand it, but we are a twofold person. We are body, and we are a soul.
Amen.
This body is not going to inherit heaven.
No. Amen.
This body is not going to go to hell. This body does not care one little detail about eternity at all.
Amen.
It doesn't care. It cares about the things of this world. It wants the things of this world. And so that's why when I said about studying this verse of scripture out here, and the Lord helped me with this many years ago to think about this. So that means, indicates to me that our soul is what's going to stand before God at the judgment bar. And our soul is going to give an account for what this body did. So which indicated to me that the soul has some control over this body. Now, our soul doesn't have control over the body unless it is through the help of the Spirit of God to give us control.
Amen.
As Brother Burt mentioned, when we were in sin, and we were living for the enemy of the soul, when we had the spirit of the devil in us, and we just did sin. Our soul didn't have control over the body because there was a spirit that was within us that was controlling the body to just go ahead and do sin. If I wanted to curse, I cursed. If I wanted to lie, I lied. If I wanted to steal, I stole. Whatever the body wanted to do, it did because it didn't. It knew it would not pay the penalty of eternity. But thank God when we get saved, and God puts His Spirit within us, and God saves our soul, He gives us power over this body. Body says, that's what I want to do. The soul says, that's not what we're going to do.
Amen.
You know, if Brother Danny was going to stand before God for me, if God said, you know, Brother Danny's going to stand before God for you, whatever, you're going to either go to heaven or hell for what Brother Danny says. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold on to Brother Danny. We're not going that way. We're not doing that. I'm going to make him do things. Well, that's the same way with our soul. Our soul can have the power over the body, the things of the world. The body or our body will not inherit the heaven or hell. Our soul is eternal. And Paul says our soul is going to give an account for this body. There's a lot of people that believe that they can sin and go to heaven. The body sins, but the soul doesn't. I don't know what they do with this verse. It's going to give, our body is going to give an account for the soul. I'm not going to go back over here and read this for time's sake. I mentioned it a little bit. You can go over and look at it a little bit later. I always think it's an interesting verse. And it's a very true verse. I just want to make sure. I have it written down here to do it, but I'm going to make sure it's the word verse that I'm reading. It's over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Our spirits belong to God.
Yes, amen.
Our soul belongs to God. This body is going back to the earth. This body, the bones, the flesh, the hair, the eyes, all this is going back to the earth from where it came from. But he says here, the soul shall return unto God who gave it for, as we read over in Corinthians, for an accountable for the judgment. Our soul, the day that the Lord calls our soul from this body, and this body lays limp in this world, our soul shall stand before God and give that account of our body. The Bible lets us know that Adam was just dust to the ground. And God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You take the soul away, you're going to hit the ground quick. Sometimes we don't have to think about some of the things, how God works and things like that. It's amazing. We're what's the Bible say? We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah. You are.
Somebody made a comment here this morning. I don't have power to breathe. God does that. I don't have power to think. God allows that to happen. God allows this body to work. To be able to walk, to be able to think, to be able to see, to be able to do those things. But when God removes that soul, this body has no power. God put it in a perfect working condition where my body breathes in air and breathes out. Breathes in, breathes out. It's amazing how God has made our bodies, how God has created us. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 28, don't fear them that can kill the body. And I understand what he says here. He's not talking about don't go around and put yourself in places that are dangerous or whatever. He says, but don't fear those ones that can kill the body, but fear those ones that can kill both soul and body in hell. Yeah. That can destroy both soul and body. The one that has the power over our soul. That's the one to fear there. So Paul tells us, he gives everyone an understanding that we all have to stand before God and give an account of our bodies done in this world. You know, when we go to court, or if you go to court, for any reason, especially if it's something involving, we take a lawyer with us, don't we? I faced something this week, not I didn't, but I was talking to someone this week, well, actually what it is, no problem. So the person that owns the shop up here now, Mark is his name, he bought the business. Me and the other guy, you believe it's been 3 years? He's having it 3 years. I mean, it's just gone like that. But he bought the business. He didn't buy the building. Well, now he's in the process of buying the building. And the ones that own the building, they've had a couple meetings. And doing a little bit of talk, not getting all the details. But I said, why doesn't he bring a lawyer with him? We're talking almost $1 million, $750,000 maybe. I would think I'd want somebody to stand on my behalf. Why don't you have a lawyer? Well, he doesn't. He doesn't want to. For whatever reason, that's his purpose or whatever. But when we go to court, if we do that, why do we get a lawyer? We get a lawyer because he knows the laws. He knows all the little details. He knows how to take care of things that we don't know those things.
Amen.
Well, you know, we're going to stand before a judge one day. And you know what? We're going to need to know the laws. We're going to need to know what we're going to be judged on. We're going to need to know the things that we're going to be judged on. And this is where I'm getting to the part of my message here. And when we have a lawyer in our world there, he builds a case. I'm not talking about that particular situation, but if you were in trouble or whatever, he builds a case. He starts putting timelines together. He starts putting witnesses together. He starts putting evidence together to help you to prove you're innocent, or the other way, to help to prove someone is guilty. He starts to compile a case together against that person.
Amen.
Well, the Bible lets us know, and we'll get into this a little bit later. The Bible lets us know at the judgment, there's going to be books there with every, and we've read here in Corinthians there, the last part of there, Corinthians, I already turned to Ecclesiastes, everything good or bad. Soak this part in. The Bible says every idle word will be brought to judgment. I don't know how the judgment's going to be. Eternity, there is no time. It could take us 10 bazillion years to do a judgment. I don't know. Imagine every idle, everything that you say, it came from here. If you say something derogatory to somebody or nasty to somebody or hateful to somebody, God has that mark. Yeah. And as I've said in the past, something that I did in my 20s, I have zero remembrance of that. But God says, I remember.
Amen.
He remembered those things. Now, if we've gotten saved, thank God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, all those things were erased.
Praise God. Glory to God.
But we need to continue that way. But we're going to stand before God, and He's going to have all of our life right there before Him. What do we have to plea? Amen. The only one thing that we have to plea in this world is Jesus Christ.
Yes. Thank God.
One day, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
God's going to look in the book. He goes, yep, I can see the blood has been applied.
Yes.
Just like in Egypt, when they had to apply the blood upon the doorpost and across the mantle, God said to apply that blood, and when I go by, if I see the blood applied, I'll pass by and everyone in the house will be saved. God wants to see the blood applied to our hearts in the book of life.
Amen.
And if that is, thank God, that's our case that we have to plug.
Yes.
What have you built up? Go back to Matthew chapter 6. and I built the case of a message to bring my thought for this morning. Matthew chapter 6, this is Jesus speaking here. In verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek ye first."
Yes.
There's some things we have to do first. Right. Above all, beyond all. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The first thing that we need to do when we stand before the judgment bar of God, or before we stand the judgment bar of God, there's some first things we need to set in order. And one of the first things is to seek God. To seek Jesus Christ. "Seek ye the kingdom of God." And I thank God for the mercy, for the Spirit, for the direction of the Spirit of God. That when we start to consider, we talked Wednesday night about the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was sitting there in his chariot, and he was reading from Isaiah there. And Philip come up there to him, and he says, "What are you reading?" He was searching for something. He was looking for something. He'd already been to Jerusalem for the worship, and he'd seen some things, had an understanding of some things. And I say, "Lord, give us some people that way today. Give us some people that have a hungering and a thirst for the things of God." Some people say, as the night gets darker, yesterday afternoon, Lynn buses down Bowie's Courts. And yesterday afternoon, evening, we rode back towards the back where she drives. And them shore homes, along the shore homes, out in front of them, it was black. I mean, dark. I said, "Look how dark it is out through there. And you can't see anything out there." But they say, you know, the darker the night, the brighter that little light shines. I could light a candle here and it probably won't give out a lot of light. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, we turned it all out, that would be a bright light. And we're in a dark world today, spiritual-wise. We're in a spiritually dark world. And I'm hoping, Lord, that people will have a desire to turn their heart to seek God. To seek for the kingdom of God. And Jesus says here, the very first thing you need to do in verse 33, seek the kingdom of God first. When Jesus talked to the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and he dealt with him, a little bit of dealing with him there, and he told him who he was, "I am Jesus, whom you kick against." You know, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I'm the one that you're fighting. See, Jesus knew his spiritual concern. He knew his heart and things, his desire. And Jesus said, "Paul, it's hard for you to go this way. It's difficult for you to go this way." And as Paul started to deal with Jesus and started to talk to him, he come to the end. He says, "Lord, what will you have me to do?"
Yes, amen.
I say, "Lord, help us not only to have people to seek out the kingdom, to seek the kingdom of God at first, but having a desire, what would you have me to do?" I mentioned about our best. I thank God that's all God requires is our best. I think about people in the world that have unbelievable talent and singing and playing and things, and they're giving it to the world. They can use some of it. There are some people in the world, you've heard them, I've heard them. They can sing some gospel song and they will move you. They will touch your heart. Imagine how much greater they would be if they were under the direction of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There are some people that don't have that talent. But God, we just do our best. We just put our best forward and effort there. And Paul says, "What will you have me to do?" Many people may come to Christ and say, "What will you have me to do?" And I believe that this falls in place with many times. You know, the Bible says that there are four grounds that the seed falls upon. Of those four grounds, only one of them takes hold. Only one of them takes hold. And somewhere in the way, the seed will fall on every person's ground, every person's life in their time. The seed, the Word of God, will fall upon their life somewhere. And it's up to them what they do with it. But only out of those four grounds, only one of them takes hold. And as Paul said, "What will you have me to do?" And many people may say, "What, Christ, what do you want me to do?" But the price is too high. Thank God it wasn't too high for Paul. There's a lot of other details. Paul, as I said, a lot of times we read the stories in the Bible and we can rejoice because we know the beginning and the end. But let me tell you what, Paul didn't have any idea what he was probably going to face. He had to send Ananias. And he's, Ananias, I want you to go to Paul. And he's, I want you to tell him. What Ananias have to tell Paul? What great things he will have to suffer. He didn't say, oh, Saul, you're saved now. You're a child of God. Just join us. Saul, God's going to use you. And you're going to suffer greatly. One of the things you're going to do, you're going to be rejected by the Jews. And you're going to have to reject the Jews in a sense. That lifestyle that you followed. Paul said, all these things, I've counted them but dung, that I may know Christ.
Amen.
There's some things we have to reject. Are people willing to seek the kingdom of God? We see the rich young man. He came to Jesus, and in that story, if you read through that story, he came to Jesus excited. He came running to Jesus, falling before him, Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? That was what his desire was, a wonderful desire. And you know the story, God gave him some things, but there was something there that he just could not bear to seek after. Seek the kingdom of God first. And then I'm going to show you some things you're going to have to reject. And he says, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. He went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Some of them came to him. They wanted to be, Lord, I want to follow you, but let me bury my dad, or let me say farewell to my dad. Different occasions there. And he said, let me do this thing. And Jesus said, you let the dead bury the dead. I'll leave your family alone and things and pick up your cross and follow me. Sometimes people want to follow Christ, but they want to get all the things in order first. I want to get my, you know, we're living in a time in our lifetime now, and it's been this way for a number of years, where young people, they want to get married and they want to have all the benefits that their parents took 30 and 40 years to have today. I want to have a home. I want to have two cars. We want to have six figures. We want to have all this stuff before we consider having children. And it's crazy. That's right. It's not the way it is. It's not the way God created it to be. Well, people do the same thing with God. Let me get everything right first, then I'll come serve you. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not ours. Not our righteousness. Not our will. Not our desires, but God's righteousness.
Amen.
One time there was a lady over Matthew 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 and 21. There's a lady that came to Jesus and she asked a question. I always kind of think it's funny when this. I can't imagine why she would even begin it. But she had two sons of Zebedee. She says, granted that my two sons can have the ability to sit on your right and on your left hand side. I just can't fathom who, but see, that's not a spiritual mind. See, people with a spiritual mind will never, a spiritual-minded person, their desire is, Lord, I want to be at your feet. I want to work your feet. I want to bow before you. And he said, you don't know what you ask. He said, you don't have any idea what you're asking. So people want to seek the kingdom of God, but for their benefits. They want to seek the kingdom of God for their own righteousnesses or their own blessings, not for the service of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Turn over a page or so. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus again speaking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. I tell you, this is a verse I have to think on many times. Say, Lord, help us. This is a serious verse.
Yes, it is.
Jesus said, not everyone unto me said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Are we seeking God's kingdom? Well, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I go to church. I read the Bible. I pray. I sing in the choir. I play the piano. We're going to stand before God one day and say, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Why? Because you sought your own righteousness. You sought your own welfare. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Here's what I was mentioning a minute ago. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Standing before God at the judgment. Many times people serve God for the benefits.
Amen.
Many times people serve God because they think they're just going to make heaven. Oh, I accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But are you seeking the kingdom? And as I brought, as I thought, went over this message this morning, and I didn't really get anywhere, I'm just going to deliver what I thought about it a little bit. When we think about that, seek the kingdom, what does that mean? There's a lot behind that. There's a lot behind that. You know, it used to be, if you wanted to come to the United States, there was a proper way to come here.
Right.
And you had to comply to the things of the United States.
Right.
Not bring all the stuff that you brought with you and expect the United States to comply to you. But you had to comply to the things of the United States if you wanted to be a citizen. There were some things you had to do. That's the way it used to be. But see, things have changed so much. And the same thing with anywhere else. If you go, if you were to rent something, if you were renting an apartment or whatever, you have to comply to their rules. Well, I paid my rent. Give me a room key. Well, we don't allow, I don't know, all kind, we don't allow smoking. We don't allow... you know, all kind. You know what it is. You know what I'm saying. We don't allow certain things in our hotel or wherever it is or where you're renting. Not allowed to have pets. You're not allowed to have children some other place. All these things. Well, just I pay my rent. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then they find out you got a dog or you have children. You know, I call it Glen Manor. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's Glen Manor down here. But there was a period of time you weren't allowed to have. I don't know if it was a senior, but you weren't allowed to have children. No children. That's not that way now, but you had to comply to those. But when it comes to the things of God, people want God to comply. People want God to accept all their sinful habits or their way they live and live in their lives. God says that's not the way it is. Some of them said, Lord, look, I've done all these things. He said, I don't know you. Seeking the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom doesn't mean just say, Lord, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. After that, seeking what I need to do to please God.
Amen.
What do I have to do to please you, Lord? I want to have the smile of God on my life. What do I have to do to please you?
Amen. Yes, amen.
And when he gives us that spirit helps us to learn that.
Yes.
If you're saved this morning, if you're really saved this morning, I can assure you that many times, and I said many times, in your walk with the Spirit and walk with the Lord, the Spirit of God has said, don't do that.
Absolutely.
Don't go that way.
Right.
Don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. And you have a choice.
That's true.
I'm not going to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that we can sear our conscience by not listening to the Spirit of God. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. Then the Spirit of God will be left. And you know what? People will still continue to go on the same way. Oh, I'm saved. But they won't make heaven. Seek the kingdom. Lord, what will you have me to do as a servant of God? And you know, even if we've been saved for a number of years, I think that should still be our desire. Lord, what do you want me to do? And it doesn't matter what our age. Maybe we're not able to get up and go like we used to. Sister Hawk, thank God for Sister Hawk. She was a perfect example. Even in her old days. She came to an altar up here and sat on the front pew one time some years ago. And she indicated to me, she goes, I want to be an example where I live. She lived down in a high rise. I just want to be an example. I want to still show Christ in my life. 90-some years old. Not a whole lot that she could do, but she was an example of Christ where she lived. Sister Ann says that little quote there, bloom where you're planted. Doesn't mean you have to be running the streets or preaching or jumping or playing or whatever, but just be an example right where you are in your little world.
Yes,
bloom where you're planted is a good thought. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. I try to shorten this up a little bit here. We're going to pick up in verse 31. He's when the Son of Man come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goat on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Seek the kingdom. What will it take to put you on the right hand? What will it take for you to be a sheep? That's actually going to happen one day. We're going to stand before God and he's going to divide. Now again, I don't know what the judgment or what the all that will be like, but I can just envision and God going down this aisle here. Brother Danny, and I know you're showing the right and left, but if you're a group and just you go to that way. When he gets to me, by the grace of God, I want to be living a life here in this world. When he gets to me and he says, well done, go to the right side. You're a sheep. Because when he moves you to the left side, there is nothing that can change that. And thank God, when he moves you to the right side, there's nothing that we're sealed then. Anybody wants to talk about being forever saved? That's when we're sealed by the grace of God. What will it take to put you on the right? Will you give an account today? Or are you going to give an account for today? You're going to give an account for tomorrow? Yesterday and last year and last 20 years, 30 years, they're gone. There's nothing we can do outside of putting them under the blood of Christ. But I'm going to give an account for today. I'm going to give an account for what I say the rest of this day, whatever I do the rest of this day, whatever I do tomorrow, next week, next month, the rest of the year. I'm going to give an account for that. And by the grace of God, when I stand before him, I need to keep that in mind that when I do whatever I do from day to day, I'm going to stand before God one day. And I want to be move to the right. Now you know the story here. Jesus goes on down through there, and again, time's sake, we're not going to go from 35 to 40 and all the way down to the chapter. And he says in verse 35, I was hungry, you gave me meat, thirsty, you gave me drink, stranger, you took me in, naked, you clothed me, sick, I was visited, I was sick, and you visited me, in prison, you came to me. And then the righteous shall say to him, when we saw you all these things, he goes, as you did it to the least of these, my brother. Then he goes to those on the left and he says the same thing. He goes, when did we see you like this, Lord? He goes, you didn't seek the kingdom. You didn't look for the things that I asked you to do. And you didn't do any of those things to your brothers, to the least of these, my brothers. Are we seeking the kingdom of God? As I said a little bit ago, God may not call you to Africa, to China, to across the country. I don't know if it was ever, I think it was a true statement. I don't remember who even said it. If it was somebody among us or somebody else. She said, God called me to the, how'd they say it? God called me to the Sandpile tribe. Children. And I think about what a precious desire that would be. To see children playing. And maybe, you know, when I was in the Philippines, one of the things, some of you know Brother Jet in the Philippines, he was a teacher. He was a teacher in school. And during break time, lunch or break, of course, couldn't do that here, but over there, he would take anybody that desired, he would take them aside, outside, and they'd sit and study the Bible. He taught school, and as he taught school during the break, he says, I'm going to go out here and teach people the Bible. And that's how a lot of them got saved. Many of them through that time got saved because of a burden. It doesn't mean he has to go across the world or wherever that. But what's the Lord call us to do? What do we seek? And God here, as Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What will you have me to do, Lord? Whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're able to go or not. Give our best. Give an account for what we did. Let's go to one more verse of Scripture, Matthew chapter 21. Back up a page or two. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to pick up in verse 28. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, Son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered him and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Song in our songbook. Says, it may not be on the mountain height or over the stormy sea. It may not be on the battlefront. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls, to pass I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. Seek the kingdom. Psalm says, be still. Listen for God. Well, where you want me to go? Where you want me to go? God will give an account. We will give an account to God one day. And one of those things is, how many of you had children? Not asking you to raise your hand. How many of you had children just like this man did here? And one of them, they just, whatever you told them to do, they just would not do it. Take out the trash. 2 hours later, the trash is still there. Other ones, you may say it, and they almost do it willingly. Just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead. Right there. Well, we're the same thing with the Spirit of God, with God. God says, this is the direction I want you to walk. This is what I want you to do. Do we listen for the Spirit of God to direct us? Or are we always running here, there, busy, not heeding? I'll do it another time, Lord. As this man said, had two sons. One, he told him to go and do it. And he says, I won't. But then later he repented and he went and did it. And the other one, he said, I'll do it. And he never did. Jesus goes on down there and talks to him, which of the twain did the will of his father. And he said, the first one there that repented. Help me, Lord, today to hear your direction. By the grace of God, we want to hear well done. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll grant you many things. By the grace of God, help us. We will stand before God one day. We will give an account to what you're going to do today, tomorrow. And I mentioned, when I was 20, and you were 20, you don't remember what you did. Maybe there might be something you remember, but you don't remember. There's a terrible disease called dementia. People get to the point, they get older, and they forget everything. At that point, if things aren't taken care of, if we haven't repented from sin and that place comes, there's no hope unless God heals you. If we get to a point to where our mind has no ability to reason, absolutely reason things together, I remember when Aunt Sissy in her later years, in a later time there, and she wasn't well, and she did a little bit of change into the will there, and her lawyer came to her and talked to her, and he says, I'm going to allow the will to be changed because her mind's still reasonable. And her mind was reasonable right up till she passed away. But sometimes our minds don't become reasonable. We can't reason together anymore. It's too late. On the other hand, thank God if you're saved and your things are well, and you go to that place, you're sealed. You're not held accountable for those things that you just don't reason right. So Lord, help us today that we have our mind about us. God says, I'm going to make an account by the grace of God. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open a song book to page 147. 147.
Take the first place in my heart.